Yes.
So I was in a group once meditating, and someone did collapse, and the guy got up and helped that person out of the hall. That's my only experience with that, and so I'm asking, if I'm guiding a sit,
let's not go down these roads, because it is so unlikely that it's going to happen. I personally don't think I would have done that. Mm-hmm. I think I would have just made sure that the person was all right, and then we go along with our lives. I don't want you to start thinking that, you know, every other person is going to have some sort of major trauma in the middle of meditation. But it's just the encouragement to to stay with whatever it is that's going on. Because, again, I would like people to be so fine that, you know, okay, you pass out. Okay, pass out. Get up. Sit. You know?
Yeah.
Instead of, oh, God, this one's a page. Would be interesting. We've got to go on, folks. We're really running out of time, and I'm wondering, in fact, if we need to just hustle on through this and get something out there, and then I'm afraid it is going to be an email process, because...
Okay. I think we're nearly done.
Okay, go ahead.
There are, on the second version of the Meditation Guide, Paul Guidelines, there are two things that are not on the first. Here's the first one. Ask if you do not understand something. We all strive for, quote, beginner's minds, those who are relatively new to Zen practice, who is all favored by asking for clarification when something is not clear. I think that language is...
Yeah, I think both of those languages are good.
Okay. And then here's the other one. We are here for the purpose of looking inward, not to be social. It is possible that you could sit with this group for weeks and no one would ask your name. However, your presence is felt and appreciated.
I love that. That's
at the bottom of this one, which seems like a really good place for it. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing I have, the sitting still, I don't think we need to go over it. I think that's just how you need to go home and stuff.
Yeah.
Here's the guidelines for sitting group coordinators.
Now, sitting still, is that, or?
No, it's sitting without tricks.
Okay, yeah.
Although we'll take the... There's some meditation hall guidelines at the top of sitting without a trace that we can take off and just leave the hall and have a sit in the posture.
Because, you know, if somebody is sending somebody to a retreat, so we're getting ready to go to North Carolina the 1st of May or whenever it is, if there are people back there who are coming from their sitting group for the first time, it'd be great if those people were informed about that. It can be really intimidating to walk into a completely strange environment and people are... doing all this dance about coming in and going out of the room and bowing and turning and bowing and...
So the other one is guidelines for the sitting group coordinators. So here's how that goes. Below are the guidelines we ask you to follow in your participation with any of the Zen Center sitting groups. Number one is to make no assumptions. We ask that you look to the center for guidance in all aspects of group practice. This includes questions on establishing sitting groups, adding or changing anything about the sitting group process or format, and ongoing guidance. Please do not make any decisions on your own. We ask that all decisions with regard to sitting groups be run through a Zen Center.
And I'm telling you that the decisions that can be made without anybody noticing that they're making decisions is big. It's really big. There'll be something that is just such a no-brainer because, well, we can't do that because blah, blah, blah. And the decision is made without the person getting it. That would be a good thing to ask about.
Yeah, it's so true. I think that's what we're struggling with all the months. Yeah. That's what we're working on all the time. Yeah. And it's, they sneak in there.
They do. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, number two is maintain a privileged environment. A key component to providing a place where people can practice together is maintaining the privilege of other, which includes, there's a little list, no socializing before or after group, arriving and leaving in silence, maintaining custody of your eyes, in quotes, addressing all group discussion to the group facilitator. Number Number three, have a designated facilitator. We ask that all groups be facilitated. These are two bullets. And all facilitators get permission to facilitate groups before doing so.
That's really good.
Yeah, that's a place where we've had problems in the past.
Yeah, big problems. Yeah.
Number four is follow an approved group, approved formal group format. Any number of formats can be used. Again, we ask that you get approval before starting or changing the group format. Number five is to post and follow all group guidelines that are attached. You're supposed to this, and this is not a number, but at the end it says, please know you are always welcome to invite monks from the monastery to facilitate workshops or retreats in your area.
Do it. Actually, we hope to be able to do more of that with our standards.
I made one little note at the bottom last night that we won't distribute the recordings that are made. Mm-hmm. That should go somewhere. maybe that could just go on the orientation, the list of orientation that people need to, points that people need to.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Groups are recorded. We don't distribute them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm wondering, a couple of places in there it says to get approval. Or I wonder if it should just be clear that get approval from the monastery, because maybe there would be a facilitator who would give somebody else approval, and you know, think that was following the guidelines.
Yeah, that would be a good reminder for anybody
who the approval comes from. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And hopefully there will be such close communication with this group that we won't run into that. Well, you know, I didn't know who to ask, or, you know, it just happened that once, and that we're going to tighten things up.
Yes. Did you want that privileged environment? I've got
yes,
that.
Please.
A privileged environment. We practice in silence. We don't interfere with one another. We keep custody of the eyes, which is in quotations, allowing one another privacy to do deep introspective work without needing to be a personality, to be social, or to attend to others. It often feels strange in the beginning, but before long, it feels like heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, so we can use that.
Shall I email that to Jen and Dave?
That'd be great. Yeah, that's perfect, because we can put that at the beginning and then say something like the elements of the privileged environment are, mm-hmm. and then have a little list right there.
Great. Do you have one? Yes, Chris.
Was entering and leaving in silence part of the meditation hall guidelines? I don't think I remember.
It's part of the group, yes. Arriving and leaving in silence is part of what's on the group senior coordinators list. Let's see. I'm not sure if actually it is on that.
There's a couple things coming up for me. There's a reminder to keep the silence. But, I mean, for Asheville, it's nice if people, you know, are silent when they hit the property where the sitting is looking and don't start talking until they leave, because people that know each other have a tendency to kind of glom onto each other just right outside the door. So,
yeah.
Something like that. Well,
we've had
really
so much trouble with that through the years, because here's a person who's new. Mm-hmm. They don't know anybody. Nobody's asked their name. Nobody introduced themselves. And then they walk out of the hall and hear all these people out there.
Yeah.
It's just so unfair. You know, when at the monastery where I train, if somebody lived away from the monastery, they were not allowed to ride with somebody to the monastery. Because.
Yeah.
So from the moment you got up in the morning until at whatever point you returned back, there's no communication with anybody. And you know, we have some of that here now, where people who live close to each other drive together, because you know we're saving gas and we're all this. That's so good, because it's socializing before and socializing after, and pretty soon it starts sliding over into my teacher used to call kitchen table darshan. Mm-hmm. Where now we're going to, well, now, you know, when so-and-so said so-and-so, I thought that was a little, and then it slides into basically just chatting or gossiping about what's going on in the group, and it's really not helpful. Mm-hmm.
It just occurred to me, I wondered, not like we're going to have uniforms or something, but for what to wear as a facilitator? I noticed, I mean, a lot of us have the same sweatshirts, the interpersonal.
I encourage wearing, taking the guidelines we ask for everybody else to an extreme. You know, that your clothing draws no attention to you whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, I was even thinking it might be neat to be wearing the...
There's nothing wrong.
There's nothing wrong with you, or the shirt, the zipper. She's saying, you know, anything that is, because like you said, we're representing.
Right.
And then, so things that then are available to folks, if they say, oh, I really, you know, afterwards, I like your sweatshirt, where'd you get it? Oh, yeah, go to this.
Yeah.
The website, you can order one.
Yeah. And yes. And having reminders is fine. Mostly, though, not to draw any attention to yourself. You know, that's the whole idea of the way we attempt to dress. So it's just kind of nonscript and,
Great. Another facilitation issue that I wanted clarification on. So Susie's been coming to the group, and then one time she shows up with her friend Pam, who's never been to the group and never had any orientation, and she says, well, can Pam come? I've told her all about the privilege bag and what we do. Can she come? And my understanding is that you say no, thank you.
Yeah. We'd love to have her come. How to do an orientation and like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Again, you know, if people are always pushing, aren't we? Mm-hmm. You know, always, you know, well, you never said. Mm-hmm. And so if people get away with something once, it's a habit. Twice, it's tradition. Three times, you are their sworn enemy if you try to stop them. So it's really best to just nip it immediately. Yeah.
I just remember one of my early big training moments was having to tell some people who came here for Sunday orientations from Sacramento to go home because they were late for the orientation.
Yeah. And they probably never came back.
But it was good. It sure was good for me.
Well, you know, there's so much behind that. And once you get, you know, the image, I don't know if you know this, but again, I don't know who this teacher was, but somebody who was notorious for, you know, just whacking people around. And they called him a gremlin because he was so compassionate to people. And that is a deep then understanding that it is not compassionate to people to indulge their conditioning. It really isn't. And many of you have heard the story of the woman in Mountain View who was notoriously right. She was just one of those, you know, I'm sure if they had existed, her license plate would have said, always late, worth the wait. I mean, talk about, maybe you've never seen that license plate, but the arrogance in that is just so profound. And so she was late. And so I locked the door on her. And, you know, because we had been through it. And I saw her getting out of the car, and I locked the door. And, her rage, you know, was huge. You know, I wasn't even 10 seconds late. And then she got it, but I was late. Mm-hmm. And actually, happy to say, she was never let to the Zen Center again. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's not a kindness. It's not, you know, taking care of people and thinking that that's going to help them along the way, that that's going to make a difference for them. It doesn't. Because it's as Chris said, you know, find out right away if this is not something that they want to do. Don't argue with them about it and then find out. If down the road they want to find their way out of suffering, they're going to remember where to go to find that. They're not going to remember all the people who enabled. Okay, we are getting perilous with this to the end of our time. Are you finished?
I think we're done here.
Okay. Do we want to take a quick shot at throwing out what we think should be in the write-up And then maybe we can get somebody who will compile that and take the role of presenting something that we can tear to shreds.
This is the write-up for new groups.
For new groups, yeah.
The book reading.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Is that what we're talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What do you think we should say? Yeah.
I mean, the thing that's most important to me is conscious compassion and awareness, and so how, like, what the words we're going to think before and after, but maybe just an introduction to conscious compassion and awareness, or what
is it training in?
Yeah, or, you know,
an
exploration of conscious compassion and awareness.
Introduction, I don't care what. Nobody ever sees themselves as needing an introduction.
Mm.
Everyone is far advanced, and they have no idea what the subject is. So, how could, yes.
Like an exploration of consciousness.
An exploration. What do people think?
Mm-hmm. How about the experience, too? I mean, that word comes from the thought. Explorative experience.
Okay, and experience will come up in the write-up.
Mm-hmm.
So how about, do you like exploration of, is that what we said? Yeah, Chris.
Or the practice of?
The practice of conscious. The practice of, very good. Conscious compassion and awareness. Because that's what we're offering them, right? Okay, now what do we want people to know?
That we'll be gathering at a certain time and place.
Mm-hmm.
So we will be using a book.
Mm-hmm.
Which book
it is. I wouldn't say which book it is.
Okay.
Because, you know, I would actually encourage people not in the group not to get that book.
Mm-hmm.
Because what condition will want to do is get the book and read ahead. And that's not, that's, so that will be something you want to make clear right at the beginning. So one of the things that seems like it would be important is all levels welcome,
mm-hmm.
right? So are we exploring internal processes? Are we...
Yes.
Having an opportunity to look at how we
cause.
We're exploring what keeps us from conscious compassion and awareness.
Mm.
Well, are we really exploring how life works?
No. Yeah, we're exploring how life works.
Mm-hmm.
How my experience
life
of life is.
My experience, yeah.
Well, but isn't that something that the news is broken about as you go along? how life is how you are?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it essentially threatening to people to tell them that you're going to in a group setting, explore their inner workings?
Yeah.
Explore bringing joy and peace to your life. Something along that way. Well, why should I go to this?
If we're not going to say in suffering, then it might be helpful to bring in something on the positive side of the continuum. Okay? Yeah. Melinda?
I was thinking kindness.
To have a kinder, more joyful life?
Mm-hmm.
That sort of thing?
Yeah, bringing kindness. Bringing kindness into our lives. That, you know, that doesn't do it. It's just that kindness seems like it's kind of an up word right now.
Well, you're reading Transform Your Life. There is pages about kindness. No, I'm just kidding. Kindness. Okay? What,
Do people like that?
Something like how to, that's one, but the whole notion of living in loving kindness.
Living in loving kindness.
Okay, Jay.
I just think of what Phil pointed to before about what teacher. Yes. It can sound like everything else you see out there, unless we point to the process part. I mean, something, maybe process is the word we want to use, but.
Well, we could say life is a process.
Something, I think to me, it's what makes us human. And if we don't say that, then it can be, you know, they have three, you know, a dozen things to pick from there.
Yeah, well, the difference is they do have a dozen things to pick from, but they know you. So that's, you know, that's what's going to be a big.
Well, I thought in some situations we're using this where it's going out to.
Well, it can, but I'm not thinking that most people are going to go put ads in the paper. Are you thinking
that?
No, so I think most people are going to be in a circle of people who know them. Yeah, I'm guessing. Go ahead.
I was wondering if you want to put something in there about practice compassionate, conscious compassion awareness in the safety of a privileged environment or something in there to let people know.
Safety of a supportive environment, some kind of language like that. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, because it's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what I think, girl.
Yeah.
Not for us. Well, it's not. Yeah. You know, the reality is, it's not scary for us in the world. It's because we're here, for God's sake. Mm-hmm.
You know, there are people who wouldn't see a therapist alone in a room for money. You know, so the level of fear about looking inward for a lot of people, I think, is huge.
So I'm wondering about a title, and I really like that sentence you just said, having a kinder, more joyful life, and I'm suggesting maybe that is a title. Do we have a title? Have we had a title?
No, we don't have anything yet. We have phrases.
The thing I like about a kinder, more joyful life is because it also appeals to the part of me that wants to do this practice so that I'm a better mom, I'm a better for others, you know. So the kinder is that, and then I get the joy. So it kind of appeals to both the giver and receiver in me.
Uh-huh. Wow, I thought they were all for me. Only a 2 and an 8.
That's
right.
Just a few things. There might be a quote from McKee, a real simple one that kind of captures the spirit of practice that we would just start with under the title. And since we're not going to mention the name, but it might be good just to write, you know, that we're exploring the writings of American film teacher Sherry Huber. Like to have you in there, I think, is important.
You know, I think you're onto something. Mm-hmm. I do think that there are probably some little tidbits in there that could work.
Mm-hmm. And then at the very end, I just want to make sure we say that, you know, this is offered on behalf of Living Compassion and have a website or whatever, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Good. Anybody else? Yeah, Melinda.
Well, I wonder if there's something on the board. Because the blurb talks about the book, yeah?
Oh, let's see.
Sure, just a heads up, we're starting to get a little time pressure.
Okay, well, how about if people who, Alice, what do you need? How many people really need?
If I left on time, like in just a couple minutes, I probably just...
Yeah, but don't think that and then it doesn't happen. So if you had a couple of more people, would that facilitate your efforts?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. How about if Amy and Michael and Sequoia come in this year?
Good.
Because we're not going to let them do groups for a while.
I mean, we will let them, but
they'll be the best. Our leader.
If the answers we are seeking were in the places we have been looking, we would already have found them. The majority of us learn as children to distrust our ability to know what is so and to look outside ourselves for answers.
In the key offer show, you were suggested sitting down, being still, and looking inward will lead us to clarity and view.
Probably not that last part. In the key, author share here, if we just stopped with more of that.
But that was a good one, incorporating. Yeah. I mean, that wouldn't be that language, because that's obviously a book summary, but, you know, in the groups. Anyway, some were mentioning American Messenger Share.
Yeah, oh yeah, that's fine. Yeah. That's not the, if you sit down and sit still, and, because we're not going to, that's guaranteed out. Okay, who's going to take this little project on? All right. Excellent.
It occurred to me before we go, we might want to have make a target timeline for how we go from here, so that we can put this thing together. So like, when do we want to have our first conference call? When do we want to have the groups together? You know, if that seems useful, just to give us something to work with as we kind of work.
Oh, I think that's actually critical.
And also, when we want the descriptions done, how the components can see this.
Yeah. Now, curses. You know, I think probably we have most of this in CD form right now. I'm sure that they could be sent, or they could be available electronically. But
we could wrap and get them.
Yeah, I think so. Well, yeah. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't personally know where they are, so it would require a phone call to June to see where she's going to stash.
Can I ask Melinda that they're going to immediately have to group?
Yeah, just to call June, see if she's there. And then find out how many she's got done and all of that.
Okay, and then I could drop this one off.
Yeah. Yeah, well, this will be later because it needs, apparently, the computer, I don't know. But anyway, if that's all it takes, then somebody can get that later.
And I was remembering we were going to ask people who wants an MP3, who wants a CD, and then get volunteers to do the CD duplicating.
Mm-hmm. Well,
Talking about that.
Let me clarify just this CD set. Are there people who would want CDs of, I think we have, what did we figure out? We have like
13
groups. Would people actually want 13 CDs? Is there something?
I thought what we got to is putting it up on the website so people can download it.
Well, what we got to was finding out who could do that.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Danny.
I thought we were talking about the transcriptions of the groups were going to, each group was going to go to a different person.
It wasn't going to be a group of all
13 going, but that was going to be converted to MP3 and put on the website for us all to download.
Yeah, along with its older sibling.
Yeah.
Because we need there's another one, right? Oh, are they both in there?
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Oh, it's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right, so who wants to take that on?
What do we do with
it? Danny?
I can do that.
Okay. He's going to convert this into. Can everybody do that? Can everybody download it?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Given about a long time.
Well, you can always take it in chat. You can always
I'm going to make it as small as possible.
Okay, great.
Yeah. I have a really simple thing. I don't know that I could put my hands on my copy of the key. Can I buy or get?
We probably have one right back there.
Who else is in that category? I don't have a new one. Anyone else?
These are slightly damaged copies, so don't. I know that, that, believe it or not, that book can't be sold.
Sherry, this has a chance.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't have
it?
You don't have a copy of the key?
I don't have a personal copy.
I think what I got is the very original gray cover.
There's a letter. Yeah. Yeah. Actually, the original was beige. Was, or kind of terracotta.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's so fun over the years. You know, people will come up when I'm somewhere giving a talk, and they'll either drag in these, you know, books that they've had for 20-some years, you know, and they're all written over the, just in tatters, you know.
But, you know, bring in the copy of it all underlined. It's so fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just...
To continue to clarify that, what I'm saying is each of us that we to transcribe is going to get a tape or CD to transcribe.
This is correct.
And then why should we have that back?
Okay, well now we're just laying out, right now we're just laying out the, what's going to happen. Did somebody say they would prefer tape, a tape? Okay, you would prefer a tape. Claire, you would prefer a tape. Okay?
Versus
a CD. You know, I'm actually with you guys. You know, CD, it's true that Jim's made all these CDs, actually.
It's a miserable arrangement.
Technology is not equal.
Yeah,
well, I shouldn't have said that. Yeah,
okay.
I can take
CDs and turn them into tapes and send them to the people who need tapes.
Would you go call Jim so that we can get as many of those as possible?
So just asking June how many CDs she's got at this point.
And then we got to get them around here.
Yeah. How many are ready and can we pick them up?
And should I do anything with these tapes at this point? Or
well, if you have those tapes, now, and people want tapes, I would think you could just give them the tape. Maybe ask them to make a copy of it, and then there, that's done.
And if we're going to do that, we need to start a list of who's getting them.
Let's do that. If somebody start making a list. And
they run over. So like, there's a morning and an evening together. So mm-hmm. somebody might want to take the ones that are...
Oh, no. No. Okay. No, that's not going to work. As you were. Great.
I thought we were going to get this tape for this workshop retreat. I found that really helpful to be able to listen to this instead of just only having the book story, the guidelines that we're going to put together. Okay, well I think that what Danny is saying is that he is going to turn these into MP3 files and make them downloadable.
I was talking about this, but I can do any kind of media conversion that it would be helpful.
So what he's now saying is that he is willing to convert these into downloadables. Okay, so then you can...
Cassettes or CDs.
Yeah. So would that work?
And you get all of them.
You get all of them, and then you could burn them yourself if you want to burn them, or you could... Whatever you wanted to do with them.
We get the whole list.
So we should give Danny everything today, and then be on the list of what he needs to send, group one to me, group two to Jan, group three to Rebecca, group two.
Okay. If everybody has access to everything, couldn't each person take what they need? So if we just go along and Nikki's going to do one and Marie's going to do two and David's going to do three, then they would simply download theirs to transcribe. That if they wanted all 13 groups, then they would simply burn them for themselves or whatever. Which will save Danny that much. You know, there won't be a bunch of mailing stuff around.
But how do I get what... each person walks away with today?
They're not going to walk away with anything.
Danny's going to walk away with everything.
That's what I'm saying.
And then all we need to do is have a list of who's group one, who's
that's
group
right.
two.
So let's do that before we leave the room. You got it?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Tony's almost got the list for us. What else? What other questions? You know, June would turn that CD into a tape for you. The one that you're going to transcribe. Okay. If somebody wants that and doesn't have the technological...
I can do the pages.
Yeah. Or Danny will do it as well. Well, it's just that she's a neighbor, so you know we just pass it on and bring back in the lookout. But
you can put them on iTunes, which is free, you know, and then you can back and forth.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
You can do whatever you want, but it just as good as it pays.
Great.
Can we? While she's getting the groups, can we agree those the transcribers with on a date like April 1st to?
Yeah. So now we have several dates that we need to come up with. So who has a list of dates that we want to come up with?
So far, I have the first time of fall when the groups are going to be pulled together, when the transcriptions are finished.
Okay. Good. So what was the first one?
Conference call.
Okay. What do you think? What do you want to have done by the time you have a conference call? Dave?
We talked about bringing in the people who were not able to make it for this retreat on a conference call fairly soon to bring them up to speed on what's going on in the group.
And we really need to get them to the 13 groups to start meeting.
Mm-hmm. That's really true. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, how much time do you need to establish your group?
We need the information about what group is before we do that.
Just we need the write-up.
The write-up.
Okay. So, Lynette, no pressure.
I'll put it here a couple days.
Yeah, but you have the entire plane ride home. I do all napkins. I've done some of my best work.
And I'll email off those notes which I was carrying on some of that, huh?
Email those notes to Lynette. Okay, then we're going to get the write up, but you can be talking to your pals about it, right? Mm-hmm. Is there a night of the week that would, what did you find out?
She doesn't have any yet that are on these recorders that we've mostly been using. She's got them from the recorder that we only used a little bit at the beginning.
She had like 7 groups.
Okay. More soon. All right. Okay. Is there a night of the week that would work best for people to do this?
For the group
an evening where you would do your group, if you got a group together.
At home.
At home.
Oh, not a conference call.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't do anything.
A group.
I'm still unclear if we have a sitting group, here's
where I'm going with this. To try to see if people are going to start a new group, if there's a night, and then try to coordinate the conference call so that we get most people. So if you're going to do your group on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, would we want to go for a conference call on Thursday or Friday after the group? That's what I'm trying to do. So that, remember, we're going to do the thing where we tried all to be in the same flow so that we're all talking about the same issues.
But as long as you gave your group the week before that first conference call about it, it wouldn't really matter what day it was. As long as you were, this is the week that's going to start, and then we have our first conference call. Oh, yeah, our first conference call the day
before. Yeah, well, I would like us actually to have conference calls fairly regularly. Mm-hmm. That's my hope, especially as we get launched. You know, because I think there's, after you get going, it's gonna settle down. But in the beginning, I think there's going to be a lot going on. So I would like for us not to wait too long between a group and a conference call.
Do people agree with that? It's going to be kind of intensive in the beginning. So, Danny, June doesn't need to do anything with those things except get into a space and convert them and send them to you.
Is that a question or a statement?
It's a question. It's a statement with a question mark on it. In other words, she's going through this whole process of putting them in her computer and going through and, you know, doing this stuff and then making CDs. But that's unnecessary.
If they're on her computer, she can use YouSendIt to send them to me and I can convert them.
Okay. That's your question mark.
I don't know if this would be helpful. Each person could pick which one they want, and we could write our email address next to it, and then he would have which group and which person he sent it to.
But he's not.
Each person is going to download their own.
We're all getting on. Okay.
We still need to write our name aside one session.
Yes. And it wouldn't hurt to put your email address.
That's right.
And do those sessions have dates, or are they just 1, 2, 3?
I don't know. I'm sure they're just 1, 2, 3. And probably, yeah. Okay. So,
starting
to facilitate for the side so well. Okay. So, we need to know. So, Lynette is going to get us the write-up. You're going to start working on getting your group together or figuring out how all of that's going to work. You know, if you already have a group, then you know. But you might still, you know, if you're Danny and you had one person or two people come into group and you've lost one of them, you know, you still might put out some information about, you know, this, since the time is already committed. You're going to get your groups together, right? Mm-hmm. Right. So do you need a time frame for that? Is mm-hmm. that what people are asking mm-hmm. for? Yeah. Okay, so by what time, by when do you want that?
May. Okay. To start, May 1st?
What? Oh. May 1st?
Did we decide on the like the duration? Are we doing 8 weeks, or are we doing 10 weeks, or what?
Ongoing.
It's forever. Okay. It's not a long book. If you only do it one or two pages at a time, it's several years.
Start over.
Yeah, sure. Right. So May 1st to start.
May 1st is a good update.
How about we schedule a conference call, say within the next 2 weeks, where we can bring the other people on board so they can be getting their group ready also in time for May 1st?
Okay, great.
It'd be great to know if there's a night for a conference call that works for everybody or as many people as possible.
Yeah, and a time. It's always challenging with that 3-hour time difference. It's going to be more challenging if we bring Chris and Caroline on board.
Isn't that the North Carolina retreat? May 2nd. So we'll have it started by May 1st?
Oh, or the week of.
Yeah, I'm not the coordinator for May 1st.
It should be like May 10th.
The group will be started by May 10th.
Yeah, that will be the start date. Whatever is the first, whatever date in that week after the North Carolina.
And then we can have a first conference call.
Maybe we can get together around the retreat of Southeastern mm-hmm. types.
I was going to say, if the group starts, say, the first Monday after the North Carolina retreat, then we got our first follow-up conference call, you know, at the end of that week or the beginning of the next week. And then we can make it regular.
Okay. Who has a calendar? Okay. I vote for 2006. Yeah. But, you know, this is our life, really.
Yeah, it really is.
Okay, so that's true. There will only be a few people involved in precepts, so that's not as big a...
We can definitely do a conference call for precepts.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the first, so it's the week of the 11th, right, after that retreat in North Carolina. So that's the week that all the groups are going to start. right? So here we are.
Can you get that room again, Chip?
The 11th of May is the week that it will start. And here we are on the 22nd. No, that's not right. Here we are on the 14th of March. So we're going to get the information out to the other people. When would a conference call be good?
It just seems like they need more than a couple of weeks.
Well, but they're one thing. We would bring them on board just to talk about it, and then they would have the information. I mean, we'd have to find out if they want to.
Yeah. What day of the week is April 1st on?
It is on a what?
Wednesday.
On a Wednesday, yeah.
What if we did that conference call then?
Dave has a...
previous engagement.
Yeah, he has a workshop that he's doing from 5:30 to 6:50 on that Wednesday, which is kind of, we're talking about East Coast folks, mm-hmm. that kind of knocks that out.
Can we do the day after, Thursday?
Yeah, we have to do it early because we have a board call at 5. From 5 to 6, unless we want to do a board call from 5 to 6. Dave does a conference call from 6 to 7, and we do group from 7 to 6.
And we have our community
retreat.
How about Friday?
Friday?
Okay. So what we're talking about is... checking back in as a group, I would say, on Friday the 28th.
Is that right?
Or the 27th.
March.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh.
Is that?
We thought we were going April 3rd.
Yeah, we thought we were going April 3rd. So Friday, March
27th.
Yeah. A week.
I can't do the 27th. But.
Well, yeah, that's just how it's going to be. Okay. There are going to be people who are not going to be able to do it. What we will do is record everything. Mm-hmm. And then people can listen to them later.
What's the time again, Sherry, on the 27th?
No. Okay. There is no time. I'm not making this up. Okay. I'm just telling you what the dates are. Okay. And suggesting that would be, we're not going to do it this coming Friday.
Right.
So the next time to check in, logically, would be the 27th, if that works for people.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we just need one of those late afternoon here, early evening there.
Yeah, like 5 o'clock. Is that too late? 5, 6, 7, 8.
Is that too early for people here?
Maybe 9 is not too late for me.
Okay. All right. Then you're not people in the big dating club. But it's late night if you're.
Right. We don't go out till 10 or 11.
Oh, well, you're in the Austin music too. That's different.
Date nights are now midweek. Date nights are now midweek, Tuesday and Wednesday.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. Most couples I know, partner couples, is Tuesday and Wednesday.
Oh, that's because it's big in child care, right? Oh, boy. All right, so if we went with the 27th, late afternoon, what is this group called? Who are we? Who will be responsible for getting these dates and times out to us?
Yeah, I was wondering even if we might have like somebody who could coordinate this kind of stuff and like have an email list with everybody on it.
Well, I've been talking with Bob about some of these groovy things that I get for meetings, you know, where there's the deal and there's the calendar and you just get the calendar with the meetings. There are some slick things going on. So that would be fun if somebody could do that.
Nikki, are you a volunteer? Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm a volunteer.
Okay.
maybe Bob can teach me about this. He can. He knows. Thank you, Mickey. Okay, so our first one is 5:30 on the 27th.
Mm-hmm. And I'll take responsibility for coming up with a list of names of people who aren't here so we can include them. And right. I'll put out a few other people, too, so other people can see if they find this anybody.
Okay. Yeah.
Can we get a quick clarification of the job of transcribing? Because I'm not sure if we're... I thought if we were to edit out anything that was quote-unquote nonsense.
Oh, I think so.
So
because it's in individual manual.
Yeah, so if anything that's kind of related out to facilitation.
Group giggled for 5 minutes. We don't
need to
put that in.
Okay.
Terry, a question about the transcription. I made up a little sign-up sheet. I don't know if anybody else had already done that. I could pass around for the different, so Tuesday morning, Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning, Wednesday evening, people could sign up for one so we know they're all covered. Is that helpful?
Sure. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, it would be good to check in on that.
Okay.
Now, Tony's got a groovy little list here.
Okay.
You've got a groovy little list too?
Yeah. We had one session Saturday evening and one Sunday evening?
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Oh, I was just going to say, does it seem plausible for transcriptions to be done by the 27th for folks that are doing this? Because then they, or is that too soon?
Well, it's not too soon for me, but...
Because we also want to have a date for when we were going to have transcriptions done.
Yeah. What is it people think? Well, you know, the thing about it is, you know, here's the deal. If you have more time... you'll do it right from the deadline. Isn't this true? You want to do it one more time so that we can put it off until right before the deadline. So, you know.
2020.
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Speaking of time, I'm aware that, you know, if we keep going in this direction, then we're going to push transportation back, and I'm going to kind of, you know, then I'm concerned about flight.
Okay.
So we should probably, we've got our first conference call, do what we need to do to sew it up. And
okay. Then we'll make sure that we get the information out to everybody. And people will transcribe, and Dave will get the new people, and we will have a conference call. And we know that we're going to start our first group the week of the 11th. What more could we do?
Hey, somebody will let me know what to send what to who.
Yep.
And do we know who we're sending transcriptions to?
No, but we can talk about that on the transcript.
Okay.
Probably.
Sherry?
Yeah?
The auditor precepts, so I just need to kind of write and say how this is going to work, that I'm here, I'm going to start it, then I'm going to miss it, and then just so you know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Just a huge thank you to you, Sherry, for
coming. My pleasure. And to all of you.
Everyone coming. It's amazing for us to have this group of folks here for this long.
Yeah. It really is. It's so... so